Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Okay, if you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue on talking about the Ten Commandments. God's awesome instructions and commands of love for us that help to guide us into the kind of life that He wants us to have. Not to make life worse or to take the fun out of life, but to put the joy into life. Have we got the PowerPoint going, Ruth? And so for the last few weeks, we've been kind of looking at the Ten Commandments. We've looked at the first four so far, which are all about kind of how we relate to God, how our worship, not having anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God. We looked at God's name and how we use and how we carry God's name and how we live a life that's worthy of His name. And last week we talked about work and rest and the importance. Unfortunately, that I don't think that got recorded last week. But so if you want the notes, if you missed it and you want to have a look at the notes, I'm happy to give you the notes, but we don't have a recording for that one. But it was really all about, it was about the Sabbath, and it was about how the commandment to observe the Sabbath is because God wants us to actually have the healthy kind of balance in our life, because our Creator, the one who made us, knows that we work best when we have the right balance between working hard and that satisfaction of hard work and rest, to have time with our family, to have time with Him, to stop and check and have those moments on our life journey, on the path that we walk, where we kind of stop and go, am I still on track with God? Have I kind of gone off somewhere and that kind of thing? And that requires us to actually slow down enough to stop from the busyness, and because we know what it's like, don't we? We're kind of busy, busy, busy. We've had a busy week. Katie's birthday was yesterday, so it was like party plans. She had a big party with some friends, so it's kind of been a bit of a hectic kind of few days. And so it's kind of like it's really important to take time where we actually stop and slow down and listen and reassess and reevaluate. So that's the kind of the first four commandments. The next kind of six commandments kind of really look at how we relate to other people, other imperfect and flawed kind of human beings that we interact with in the world around us, because we're actually created and designed to have relationships with other people. And in God's order, in God's structure, it kind of, we see, we come to the first of these commandments in how we relate to other people. And the first one is about family. The first one is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it says this, it says, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Are you listening? Good. Yes. Excellent. All right. Now, I'm sure that my children would be the first to tell you that sometimes parents don't always make it easy to honour them, right? Sometimes, let me just show you a couple of photos here, right, that I found. These are just internet photos. These are not from like my life experience or anything. But okay, here's a parent who's not making it very easy for her kids to honour her, right? She's stolen his bike. Look at that look on his face, isn't that? That's hilarious. That's the best part of the whole picture, I think. All right, this one here, all right? Aren't you glad, girls, that you don't have parents like that? Yeah. Okay. Some, you know, and again, the look on, I love the teenage daughter look. Like, that's the teenage daughter look. That's the eye roll, you know, when parents are being embarrassing and doing things that they really shouldn't be doing, that's what you do, isn't it? All right, and this one here, here's some parents being awesome. But I don't know if they've got kids or not, but if they did, I'm sure that they'd be dying off in a corner somewhere, horribly humiliated and shamed and never going to live that down for the rest of their life. But pretty awesome costumes, I think. Okay. What was that? No, absolutely not. I'd need like three pillows anyway, so it's like, you know, yeah. Two, maybe. Okay. But in all seriousness, like, there are actually times when it's difficult. Like, our parents are human, aren't they? I know my parents were pretty human. Right, there are some things that they said, things that they did, and stuff that I think, you know, that probably wasn't, you know, done in love or, you know, whatever at that particular moment in time. And some of you have come from experiences where your parents did some stuff that was probably pretty terrible. Like, statistically, the chances are that some of you have suffered different kinds of abuse and things like that. And some of you have got scars today from, you know, in your relationship with your parents, whether it's kind of emotionally cold or distant or, you know, physically abusive or emotionally abusive or things like that. And for some of you today, when we talk about this command of honouring your parents, this is going to be difficult. But I want to just challenge you, and I want to encourage you to not just kind of switch off and go, well, I can't do that, that's too hard, so, you know, I'm just going to switch off and not listen anymore. I want to encourage you to go, okay, there may be some parts of this which I'm not ready for now. There may be some parts of this which I just go, you know, this is not my story. This is not my life. This is not how my parents were. But listen to, maybe God's just trying to encourage you in something. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And speak into your heart and go, what's it time for today? All right? Because ultimately, like we've been talking about through all of this, God doesn't give us this command without a reason. It's not just arbitrary. It's not just, well, you know, God says, oh, this seems like a good thing to do. He does it for you. He does it for your benefit, you know, and all these kinds of things. But One of the things that I want to kind of encourage you or challenge you to think about is this. Let's look at this verse. And this is, for me, this is one of the most challenging verses in Scripture. This is one of the most difficult things that Jesus said. He says, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? So what's Jesus saying? What's the heart of what he's saying here? Is it just like, is he just saying, well, you just have to be nice to every horrible person in the world? Well, I don't think that's actually the heart of what he's saying. What I think the heart of his words here is this. It says, don't let your character be shaped by bad things that other people do. Don't let your character be shaped by people around you. Let your character be shaped by your Father in heaven. Okay. Number one, when we talk about honoring your parents, the first question that we need to consider is why. Right? Why is this important? We need to understand why we should care, why we should even worry about it, why we should, you know, why we got lots of people around us that we can care about and love and friends, whatever. Why does God single this out? Why should we honor our parents? Firstly, for us, in looking at the why for us, is because God commands it. Okay? Bible says if we consider ourselves to be His kids, if we want to be followers of Jesus, if we love Jesus, then we need to obey His commands. And this is kind of the most kind of simple reason, I guess, just because God says. I mean, you know, that's where parents, I think, kind of learned it from. You know, how many of us as parents, or, you know, have you heard your parents when you say, why do I have to do that? You say, just because I said so, all right? the classic parent line when you don't want to explain yourself or whatever, you don't have time, you don't have the energy to kind of go into a deep and meaningful, and, you know, it's just like, just do it. I asked you to do it, just do it. And it's a little bit like this. You know, we kind of, I mean, there's more, and God gives us reasons and explains, but ultimately we say, you know, we do it because God actually commanded us to do it. The second reason that we have to honour our parents is out of gratitude, out of a heart of gratitude. Now, it's not an easy job being a parent. Any parents can testify to that. It's, you know, come on. It's not an easy job, is it? All right? Any parent thinks it's just a walk in the park, it's a piece of cake, you know, just being a parent, you know. You know, we're there, and like as parents, we're trying to do the best that we can, aren't we? We're trying, you know, for most, all of us here, I'm sure as parents, we're trying to do our best. We're trying to teach our kids to have good character and good values, and we're trying to teach them the value of hard work and how to, you know, handle their money right and, you know, all those kinds of things. And sometimes they just don't seem to appreciate it, do they, Gary? And I have to confess that as a kid, I didn't always appreciate my parents trying to teach me those things either. All right? There were times when I just didn't really appreciate, didn't understand the value of what they were trying to teach me. I remember one occasion I was being made to do some kind of work or chore or something. I don't remember the specific instance, but I remember that I was particularly unimpressed, and I made a comment along the lines of, I can't wait till I have kids so I've got slaves of my own. And I'm sure that my children have never had those thoughts. I think I might have heard some similar words on occasion, but not from any of the ones in the room at the moment, but no. Well, you know, needless to say, it kind of doesn't work out that way. When you kind of grow up and you have kids, you find yourself with more to do than what you ever had as a kid, don't you? But until you become the adult, you don't actually realise how much stuff gets done in the house. I don't know if any of you have ever seen, there's a little clip, you can Google it, the magic coffee table. Has anybody ever seen the magic coffee table clip? And there's a guy who's talking to his wife, and his wife is kind of expressing, or partner is expressing frustration about how he never helps out around the house. And he's like, I'm going to let you in on the secret. You know, this, and he points to this washing basket, and he's like, you know, this washing basket here, you just put stuff in it, all your dirty clothes in it, and it magically just gets clean and folded up and on the end of the bed, you know. And he says, oh, and the coffee table, you know, I just leave stuff all over the coffee table, dirty dishes and rubbish, and, you know, in the morning it's all gone and it's all clean, you know. It's like, what are you stressing so much about the housework for? Anyway. But there's kind of like, you know, sometimes as parents we joke about, you know, the fairies or the, you know, the elves or whatever it is that kind of do the housework while the kids are all asleep, you know, sometimes it's, yeah. But anyway, but, you know, and then you kind of get to be a parent and you realise that there actually aren't any, you know. And those dirty dishes that you left on the kitchen bench or the on the table, they're still there in the morning, you know. It's like, oh, come on, they were supposed to be washed and put away. But for most of us, like, you know, as parents, and for most of us who, or for many of us who had parents who took care of us, they did their best. You know, they weren't perfect, but in many cases they did what they thought was right at the time or in our best interest. And so there's a certain sense in which, as for those of us who have kind of grown up and we appreciate how much work it is, how difficult it is, how hard it is to know what's the right thing to do. When you're a kid, it just seems obvious, like what the right thing to do is, or what the right thing for your parents to do in every situation is, doesn't it? Sometimes they get it wrong, but not to mention the cost. All right, there's you know, raising kids is expensive. I looked up some figures. This is from the Australian Institute of Family Studies. This is a government website. Figures from this year. This is just figures for low-income families. They say low-income families spend on average $170 per week per child. So from birth to, so that figure there, from birth to 18 years, if you do the math, multiply it 52 weeks times 18 years to raise a kid from 0 to 18, the average spend for, this is for a low-income family, is $159,000, give or take. All right. So this is not insignificant. Then you can times that by four and feel sorry for me, you know. All right. I read a little story. It kind of amused me. So I'll tell you. There's a boy who was talking to his friend at school, and he says, "I'm really worried." And his friend says, "You know, what are you worried about?" And he says, well, my dad works really hard and, you know, provides for the needs of the home, and mum washes the clothes and prepares the meals and keeps the house clean. I know it's a little bit stereotypical, but it's an old story, so we'll forgive it. And his friend says, well, you know, what have you got to worry about then? And he looks at his friend and says, I'm worried they might escape. All right. So one of the reasons that we honour our parents, even though they may have made mistakes, is that they've done a lot for us. They didn't kill us at birth. We're still here. We're still alive, right? They gave us life and looked after us to some extent, for the most part. And thirdly, we honour our parents in order to avoid some of their mistakes. We try and learn from what they did. I looked up an interesting definition of honour. One of the definitions of honour, or part of the etymology, the origin of the word, it means a heavy weight, as in to give weight to someone's words, to take things with serious consideration. And obviously then conversely, dishonour means to take lightly, to be flippant about, to treat as of little consequence. So this is a really interesting kind of way. When we look at honour from this perspective, then it isn't just about, you know, doing what we're told. It isn't the same as obey in every situation. To honour means to listen to what they have to say, to treat their words and to treat them with serious consideration. That's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like our parents are always trying to tell us what to do, even when we're grown up. Sometimes they are. Maybe for some of you, that is what your parents are like. They've got a little bit of that. But, you know, sometimes that's actually not because they just want to overly controlling or dominating, or maybe the case in the odd situation, but often it's because they actually want to help you to avoid some of the mistakes that they've made. They want to share with you some of their experience and help you to benefit from some of their wisdom, although on some occasions they're just bossy. What can we say? Some of us are naturally bossy people. But, Proverbs 1:8, this is what I think what prompts Solomon in all of his wisdom to say this. He says, "My child, listen when your father corrects you and don't neglect your mother's instruction." Doesn't mean we just do everything that they say and, you know, follow without consideration. But it means when your parents are wanting to share some of their experience, when they're wanting to share some advice, when they're wanting to share some wisdom, maybe there's actually a really good reason, a really good heart behind what they're trying to say. And we benefit, we gain wisdom from giving that due consideration. And that's a big part of honouring our parents. They're not perfect and they don't know everything. And at times we're going to agree to disagree and we're going to consider it and we're going to weigh it up and say, well, actually, I want to do it differently. And sometimes that's the right thing. Sometimes, you know, we would have been better off listening, but, you know, that's life. But it does, that's kind of how it goes. Now, before we kind of go on to a little bit of some ways or some strategies or some ways in which it's good to honour our parents, it is worth noting, that it makes it a whole lot easier when parents live a life that is worthy of honour. Isn't that right? It makes it a whole lot easier for kids to honour their parents when As parents, we live a life that's worthy of honour. One of our roles as parents is to teach and to train our kids, to discipline our kids, to bring correction, and sometimes that's painful, sometimes they don't enjoy it, but that is an important part of what it means to be a parent. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." He goes on and he says, "Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." As parents, our job is not just to discipline. Our job is not just to bring correction, but it's also to encourage. It's also to be that cheerleader that believes in them and says, hey, Hannah, you can do it. You can bowl that strike at youth group. You can lead worship and do an awesome job. You know, and that's a big part of it. Oh, so you're hiding down the back there. That's all right. I won't pick on you. Too much discipline or too harsh discipline isn't good for our kids. Martin Luther, who's heard of Martin Luther? Really, guy lived a long time ago, influential, started the Lutheran Church. He had a really difficult time thinking of God as father because his own father had been so harsh with him in his life. He said, he's quoted as saying this, "Spare the rod and spoil the child, that is true, but beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well." Now, as parents, your kids may not see an apple as much of a reward these days, but you kind of get the idea, right? It's not always about just discipline, 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 and that will raise a good kid. You know, if our kids get nothing but discipline and correction from us, we break them. You know, there needs to be love. Discipline, love, and it kind of needs to be the right thing. When we do discipline, when we do bring correction, make sure that it's motivated by that heart for, I want to do what's best for you. I want to help you to be a kid who, you know, to grow up to be an adult who fits in and functions in society, who has great values and ethics and people respect and that kind of stuff. All right. So the how. Like, let me kind of give you some, just two kind of things that I really want to just highlight as the hows to honour our parents. And the first one, they're both pretty simple. There we go. Love them. How many of you as parents, I know I do, how many of you as parents love to hear your kids say, you know, I love you. You're an awesome dad. You're an awesome mum. You know, how many of you are pretty confident that you're not ever going to get tired of hearing that? Yeah? It's important, isn't it? Like, our kids need us to love them, but we kind of have this relationship where we actually really need to know that our kids kind of love us too. Whereas parents who want to feel like we've done a good job, that we've kind of had a good relationship, we want to have a good relationship with our kids, and when we're separated, when we're not in a good relationship, it can be really painful and hurtful for us when we're in that situation. But it's really, I've kind of put, you might recognize those little symbols there, that's from the five love languages. And if you kind of, like, if you hear it Wednesday night in the marriage seminar, we talked about that, but it applies to more than just husbands and wives. Like, each one of us as people, as individuals, we have ways that we communicate, a language that we speak when it comes to love. And so we have the five here. If you haven't heard of them, there's words of affirmation. So it's saying nice stuff. It's verbalizing. It's the I love yous. It's the I really appreciate it when you do this. Whatever it might be. I'm struggling to think of things because it's not one of mine. Okay, so words of affirmation. It's saying positive, encouraging, nice stuff verbally to communicate I love you in words. Acts of service. Okay, this is those kind of the things that you do to help your spouse. You know, you might go and fill up their tank with petrol. You might vacuum the floor. You might wash the dishes. It might be, you know, hanging out the laundry or, you know, fixing something for them or whatever it is that kind of is a way of saying to your spouse, I love you in a practical way. I want to support you. I want to help you. Okay. Receiving gifts, giving and receiving gifts. So the giving of a meaningful and thoughtful gift that says, I know what you like, I was thinking about you, and I wanted to get you something to say I love you. Sometimes that's the most effective way of communicating to someone who has that as their, primary love language. The yellow one there is quality time. This is one that is a big one for Kerry. Quality time. I want to spend time with you. I want to do stuff together. That's more than just being in the same room. It's more than just sitting on the couch watching a movie or TV together. It's quality time, and sometimes quantity as well. But but it's we want to feel like we're doing stuff together, and physical touch. Obviously, that's going to be different when we're talking about a parent-child relationship to what it is in different in some ways than in a marriage relationship. But it's those little kind of things. It's a hug. It's a kiss, or it's a, you know, a hand on the shoulder. It's physical proximity. It's that. Yeah, that's it. You got it. Yeah. Close, mate, close. It's the pat on the back, it's the well done, son, or, you know, good job, dad, or, you know, whatever it might be. However is appropriate in your family context and relationship. So part of it is about, you know, making the effort to actually think about how do I communicate with my parents? Because sometimes we don't always think about those kind of things, do we? We think, oh, you know, they're okay, they're kind of sorted, and, you know, they're my parents, and they've just kind of always been there. And I don't know, it was a long time in my life before, you know, I kind of got to the point of stopping thinking about them as parents and thought about them as people. Because that kind of brings about a shift in the way that we think, doesn't it? When we start to think about them as people, we start to think about, well, what are their needs? What are their likes? You know, what's you know, how do I communicate with them? And we understand that they're you know, they have weaknesses, they have imperfections, and things like that. But we go, well, they're just normal people. We stop thinking that they're supposed to be perfect and provide everything for us and, you know, do everything for us and, you know, just be there whenever we need them and all that kind of stuff, and think, well, they might actually have a life of their own and, you know, and those kind of things too. But yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Don't think about it too hard or your brain might explode, all right? But think about that sometimes. And, you know, and it's true. You know, when we kind of stop and we think, well, they're people, and we go, well, you know, just like I need people to express affection and communicate love and care and all those kind of things, my parents are probably looking for that and needing that as well. Okay, so loving our parents is a great way to honor them. Number two, forgive them. This is an interesting one, isn't it? Now, no one's perfect. Like we said before already, like we've said it, you know, first to put my hand up and say, you know, as a parent, I'm not perfect. You know, pretty close, but, you know, no. There, in all seriousness, there are times when I make decisions or I say things that, you know, in the heat of the moment, I react in a way that I shouldn't. You know, I lash out or I act in self-interest. Or sometimes the things I do are kind of motivated out of hurt or pain that I've felt. Or insecurity or, you know, or anger or ignorance even sometimes. As parents, we don't always love our kids perfectly. And so as kids, you know, maybe one of the things that our parents need from us is a little bit of forgiveness. To say, hey, you know what? I understand, you know, that it's tough. That it's hard being a dad, being a mum. Sometimes, you know, there were some things that you did that, you know, I felt like, you know, were hurtful or you did the wrong thing or whatever. But, you know, I forgive you because I want to restore that relationship. For some of you that are here this morning, there may be things that your parents did that seem impossible to forgive. Forgiveness isn't easy sometimes. I want to give you a couple of kind of suggestion. I want to talk about forgiveness just a little bit here on this point, because forgiveness can be something which we don't, sometimes we can miss, it's easy to misunderstand forgiveness. Sometimes there can be things that people do and we think, well, why should I forgive that person? They don't deserve my forgiveness. They've never come and apologized to me, or, you know, they've never expressed remorse or whatever even. But even if they did, you know, it's like, you know, too late, or what they did was too bad or too horrible, or things like that. Firstly, let me say this. Forgiving others says more about the person that we choose to be than about what they deserve. Now, for me, this kind of comes back to that verse that we read at the start. It's about the person that we choose to be being influenced and shaped by our Father in heaven, by who He is and how He has interacted with us as people, than about, you know, who the person is that we're forgiving. What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of person are you choosing to be through your attitudes, through your actions, through the way that you relate to other people? Now, there's a couple of different ways to think about this act of forgiveness. The first one, and I think probably is perhaps the most common one, and one that sometimes when people have done stuff that's actually really quite serious to hurt us, is really difficult. And that's this definition of forgiveness that says, forgive means to pardon, to excuse, to exonerate, or to ignore a wrong. Okay? And sometimes when somebody's actually done something quite serious, quite wrong, quite hurtful to us, it can be really difficult to go, oh, I'm just going to pretend that you never did that. I'm just going to excuse that. Okay, that can be really hard. But there's another definition of forgiveness, and this one I like, and I think this is perhaps a little bit more of a biblical definition perhaps, although it's not, don't hold me to that, but sometimes what I read as being forgiveness in Scripture lines up a little bit more with this. Forgive means to no longer feel angry about a wrong. To give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Because in the past, even in early Bible days, justice meant eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You hurt me, I hurt you. You kill my family member, I kill your family member. That's justice, isn't it? That's fair. But forgiveness means giving up my right to hurt you, giving up my right for revenge, giving up my right to repay evil for evil. And isn't that what Jesus commanded us to do? He said, don't repay evil for evil, but bless those who curse you, bless those, pray for those who persecute you, because forgiveness is not an act of justice. Forgiveness is not justice. If you're after justice, you'll never find forgiveness, because forgiveness is an act of grace. Forgiveness is choosing to let go of a hurt when that person doesn't deserve to be excused, when they don't deserve to be let off the hook, when they deserve to be locked up and have the key thrown away for what they did. Forgiveness is grace, undeserved favor. But you know what? Grace gets a whole lot easier to extend to others when we really have a grip on how much has already been given to us. When we come back and we refocus on what God has done for us. Do you remember that story that Jesus told, that parable that Jesus told about the two people who owed money? And there was one who owed a whole bunch of money, like a huge amount, like a ridiculous amount of money. When you kind of translate it into today's terms, it's like millions of dollars. There was no way. He had no hope. Who knows how he even racked up that debt to begin with, but he had no hope of paying it back. And what did he do? He went and he begged for mercy, and the master said, forget about it. No worries. Clean. Written off. And he was, you know, he would have gone away pretty happy. What does Jesus say he did next? He says he went out, found some guy who owed him 50 bucks, and he says, pay me now or I'm going to have you locked up. You know, when the master who forgave him this incredible, massive debt found out about it, you know, like he was not impressed. You know, and why did Jesus tell us this story? Now, I don't want to trivialize some of the things, some of the wrongs that may have been done to you, but we've got to put this in perspective of how God views our sin, how God views the years of rebellion and cursing Him and hating Him and bad-mouthing Him and living in a way that brought Him pain day after day after day. And yet He continues to show grace. And He says, not only is that debt forgiven, but I'm going to adopt you into my family and make you an heir, like your inheritance is going to be everything I own. This is what God's about. This is the whole message of this book. Is that for all the filth, for all the debt that we owed that we could never hope to pay, God wiped it all clean and He says, I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to make you my son. I'm going to make you my heir. This is the kind of grace that's been shown to us. This is the kind of forgiveness that's been shown to us. And God says, freely you've received, now freely give. He says, you've been shown grace. Your Father has demonstrated His character as being someone who shows grace to those who don't deserve it. Now, if you want to be like Him, do the same thing. Okay. We could preach a lot more about, or I could preach a lot more about forgiveness and grace and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to get too far off track. But maybe you're sitting here today and you know that maybe your relationship with your parents isn't fantastic. Maybe you know that some of this kind of stuff, of doing some things where maybe you make a choice to forgive. Maybe you make a choice to show love in some way. Maybe it starts small, whatever. I don't know. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide and prompt you as to the right things for you to do in your situation. But listen to that voice and go, God, you want me to honor my parents for whatever that means in my life. Show me how to do that. Help me to have a heart to let go. Help me to have a heart to show grace towards them in the times where they've messed up, even though maybe they don't deserve it and it's not what I want to do. And I trust that you will actually bring some healing. Trust that you will bring some blessing into my life when I choose to do that. And I think that's one of the things that when God gives this command, it's because He understands how important it is for us to have those family relationships. How painful it is when they break down and when they're not there. And He says, if you can do these things, if you can show grace, if you can show love, if you can forgive, then that's actually going to really, really help to keep your family together. And that's good. That's a good thing. All right, can we pray? Just as we pray this morning, sure that I know the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to our hearts and prompting us, but I want to just kind of give you just a few seconds. We're here this morning, just maybe just to reflect on what the Holy Spirit's been saying, to listen to what the Holy Spirit's been saying. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at in your relationship with your parents, if they're still alive? Where are you at with your relationship with your kids this morning? There's some things that you need to do to restore. Do you need to offer some forgiveness? Do you need to find some ways to communicate that you love them this morning. Father, we thank you for your commands toward us that help us to grow, that help us to be like you, to know your character and to know how we can be shaped by your character. God, help us to make those choices in those tough moments where we go, I can be, you know, my life can be dictated by what other people do to me, or my life can be shaped by my Heavenly Father. And I can choose to surrender my life to Him. I don't have to make the same mistakes that my parents made. Father, we thank you that your heart is always for our good. That your heart is always for our best. Lord, we thank you that you love us. God, I just pray for each one of us here this morning, that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts and in our minds, that you would be prompting us to maybe do some things that can maybe take a step towards reconciliation where relationships are broken. Maybe that would help us to take a step towards healing where there is hurt, and wholeness instead of brokenness. Father, we thank you that nothing is beyond your ability. You can restore what seems lost. That you can heal what seems irreparable. And we pray that you give us boldness to step out and do those things where you lead. Lord, to take a risk, maybe, in obedience to you. And to trust you for the results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.